and found Oma. The girl was bound and gagged on a cot next to the wall opposite the door. A large and surly-looking Twi'lek stood guard, a slug thrower at the ready, but he was looking at the far end of the room. Focusing his senses through the Force, the Jedi heard two more Twi'leks at the other end of the dormitory. Neither sounded happy.
"Thought this would be over by now. You got other things to do? Other than sit next to a Sokar volcano, yes. The problem is that Jedi sitting at the table. Not for long, though. Our contact will take care of her. Then we off the girl, leave the corpse where it can be found, and get gone."
Hawk couldn't risk calming a warning to Lannery. His best bet was to settle things here and hope his fellow ranger was still alive. However, the moment he made a move, the two guards at the end of the room would see him, and the guard closest to Oma would certainly kill her. He needed a diversion. The volcano provided a spectacular one. Ahead of schedule, the eruption started with a clap of thunder as plumes of pumice, flaming ash, and molten lava were belched into the air. Everyone was stunned for a moment, but then Hawk Ryo moved. His sword in his right hand and a long knife in his left, he swept into the room. Hurling the knife toward the guard standing next to Oma, he guided it with the Force into the Twi'lek's neck. The guard's finger tightened on the trigger of his slug thrower as he dropped. The shot went wild, but was audible even over the roaring volcano. Hawk pivoted toward the two other guards and sped toward them as they turned to the source of the slug fire and spotted him. A moment for their reaction, a few steps for Hawk. A moment as they brought their slug throwers around, another few steps. They aimed their weapons. Hawk threw himself into a forward roll beneath their shots and pushed off of one leg as he came forward and up. Flipping in midair over the guards, the Jedi shoved his boot down hard into the upturned face of the one to his right. Nosebone and cartilage cracked as the Twi'lek fell backward. The Jedi landed, spun, and thrust his sword into the fallen Twi'lek's chest. A quick and clean kill. His partner kept firing, but always where the Jedi had been. Hawk landed in a crouch and, with a gesture of his hand, delivered a Force blow that sent his target backwards through the window. The Twi'lek's scream was covered by the volcano's roar. Hawk preferred not to kill when he had the option, but there was no time, and no other choice. Still, the dark part in him exulted, and he struggled to bring himself back to the balance. Hawk squatted next to Oma.
"I'm Jedi Ranger Hawk Ryo, and I've been sent here to rescue you. Try to be calm."
Picking the teen up, Hawk threw her over one shoulder and raced back up to the roof. Superheated volcanic debris rained down on the town, the wooden buildings starting to catch fire. Hawk again tried to warn Lannery, but the ash jammed the comm's signal. It was hard to see through the ash, and the ranger tightened his grip on Oma. Calling on the Force once more, he leaped to the next nearest roof, ran across, and then jumped to the next roof after that. He could barely breathe, and was jumping blind, but he hoped he could trust in the Force that he was taking them out of danger, and that Lannery was not dead. Ranger Brock eased back into her chair. The discussions were still going nowhere, but at least everyone was civil. A servant brought her a goblet of wine, a Vaisamond red, something she had developed a taste for on Skogora. Lannery raised the goblet to her lips and paused. She knew the bouquet of the wine, and something bitter underlay the aroma. Lannery turned her head to glance at the servant who had given it to her, a nervous little man, as old as Eamon Desane. Fear came off him like a wave, a bitter aroma of its own. The servant turned to run. Lannery caught him with the Force, lifted him up, and dropped him onto the round table. Thrusting the goblet in his face, Lannery whispered, "I think this vintage is off. Please, taste it." The man's eyes went wide as he babbled incoherently. Lannery growled, "Drink it, little man, or I will make you drink it." She didn't have that ability, but it was commonly believed that the mysterious Jedi could seize your mind. That fear, that superstition, sometimes served the Jedi almost as well as the Force did. The servant certainly believed the stories.
No! It's poisoned!
He blurted. Lannery folded her arms, keeping her eyes on her would-be assassin. Master Desain, you have a traitor in your midst. The kidnappers would have needed someone on the inside to reach your daughter. That traitor is this man. Eamon Desain looked at his servant, appalled.
Bitolo? All these years you have been a trusted servant, almost a member of the family. Why?
Because all these years I have only been a servant,
Bitolo said quietly.
Never a member of the family. I wanted to have something of my own before I died. A chance to leave this wretched rock.
Desain's voice seethed with fury.
Where is my daughter, Bitolo?
With any luck, dead, my lord.
Lannery's calm buzzed. With any luck, my lord, she is not, she said as she activated the calm.
Hawk?
Lannery, someone is going...
Yes, I know. He tried and failed. Is Oma Desain with you?
She is, but we have another problem.
What do you mean you refuse to marry Brom Santis?
Eamon, while relieved to have his daughter back, was furious. Oma Desain stood alongside Hawk Ryo with the delegations on the island in the cavern. She, like him, was covered with ash, making her pale skin even whiter and powdering her dark hair the same hue. Free from her bonds, she stood glaring defiantly at her father. Oma's chin jutted out.
I mean I won't marry him. No one asked me if I wanted to get married. I don't, and I won't.
You have your duty to the family.
I have a duty to myself. I don't know this Brom, I don't love him, and I won't marry him to settle some dispute.
This set off another round of arguing between father and daughter, with Santis pitching in.
This is breaking down quickly,
Hawk murmured. Actually, my sympathies are with the girl. She shouldn't be a clause in a treaty, Lannery murmured back.
If she doesn't relent, the negotiations will likely collapse and everything we've done will be for nothing.
I think I may have another solution, Lannery said. First, I'll need their attention. She shot her slug thrower 3 times into the air, and again with the same effect. Very pleasantly, Lannery spoke. In other parts of the solar system, rival interests have a practice called fostering. I suggest you try it. Oma would become a foster child in the Santis household, and brought